Praised be Jesus and Mary. Let's begin by looking at the life of Pius X in a little more detail. St. Pius X was born in 1835 in northern Italy. After his ordination to the priesthood, for the first 17 years, he cared for souls in parishes. He then spent 9 years as diocesan chancellor and the seminary director at Treviso, which was his diocese of origin. Next, for 9 years as bishop himself of Mantua, he used his pastoral and administrative skills to rejuvenate that diocese. In 1893, Pope Leo XIII named him cardinal and patriarch of Venice. And 10 years later, when Leo XIII died, he was elected Pope, taking the name Pius X. St. Pius X's papal motto was to restore all things in Christ. Pope Pius X directed his energies to the church itself and to its needs. He was a shepherd. He came from a poor, simple family. His whole life was dedicated to the pastoral care of souls, and even as Pope, he never lost that pastoral zeal for souls. He sponsored a reform of church music that gave impetus to the liturgical movement, for example. He charted a codified canon law and restructured the papal government. He encouraged and reoriented the involvement of laity in the church, pointing Catholic political activists in a more spiritual direction. Pope Pius X also deeply influenced Catholic spirituality by encouraging frequent reception of Holy Communion and specifying what the exact conditions for that frequent reception were, namely the right intention, being motivated by love of God, a due preparation, and a due thanksgiving afterwards, being the three criteria, besides, of course, being in a state of grace for frequently, fruitfully receiving Holy Communion. He also made it easier for children at a young age to receive the Eucharist. In 1907, Pius X condemned the heresy of modernism, which was rampant in the church then and has been since then. In 1910, in fact, he required all priests teaching theology or engaged in pastoral ministry to take an anti-modernist oath. This modernism was a heresy which in all ways tried to compromise Catholic teaching and make it agree with the errors of the time, the errors of 1910, and then the errors of 1925 and 1950, 1975, 2000, 2020. It's an era that we've been facing since Pius X. A washing down of doctrine to make it agree with the errors of the time, whatever those errors might be, those of 1910 and those of today. Pius X worked hard also diplomatically to avert World War I, but lived just long enough to see his efforts frustrated. He died on August the 20th, 1914, a few days after the war broke out. A Franciscan tertiary, Pius X wrote in his testament, "I was born poor, I have lived poor, and I wish to die poor." Such was the life of this great saint and pope. And just the one takeaway, I think, for us to orient, I guess, our being Catholic in 2019 is that we must notice that Pius X was able to reform the church because he himself was reformed. He was formed according to Christ and his doctrine and his way of life and how he lived and what he taught, etc. So that's where true reform of the church comes from. It comes from personal holiness. It doesn't come from rearranging the different structures of the church, but rather of appointing worthy men to be the heads of those structures. A holy pope can reform the church. An unholy pope cannot, even if he shuffles a lot of things around. And we can say that about any level of the church hierarchy, whether it be in a parish. You're going to reshuffle all the parish structures. If the families in that parish are not holy, the parish won't be holy. It'll continue to die. If the families are dying, divorcing, breaking up, contracepting, that parish will do the same thing. Even if it's restructured and polished up and remodeled, it'll just die in a different way. At the diocesan level, at the level of the dicasteries that help the Pope run the church, etc. It's really about who is part of the structure, not how the structure is laid out. That's what determines true reform or the lack thereof. And in fact, in his great document on modernism, on this terrible heresy that has never really gone away, Pius X says that those who are infected with heresy should simply never be allowed to have any positions of authority in the church, lest they do damage to souls and to the church. Those found infected with heresy, those whose teachings is unlike that of Christ, those whose voice does not sound like that of Christ, those whose way of life is corrupt and unlike that of Christ, they should simply not be given positions of authority in the church, because they will do great damage. And if they are seen aspiring to the priesthood or to being bishops or whatever rank of the church hierarchy, they should be prevented. And that's really what made Pius X's reform so effective. And we should apply that to ourselves again. It's not just something abstract. We, being members of the church, are a key component of that reform, because our churches won't be holy unless we're holy, our families won't be holy unless we're holy, our households won't be holy unless we're holy, etc. A dysfunctional family that moves from one house to another will still be dysfunctional, because it's the members of the family that make it functional or dysfunctional. So like Pius X, let us also try to restore all things in Christ, beginning with ourselves. And let us turn to Our Lady, who shapes us in the form of Christ, who is the mold of Christ, and pray to her to be contributors to the true reform of the church by seeking holiness, by being shaped and formed according to Christ, according to our Lord, according to his pattern of life and holiness, which is the only example that we should follow. Praised be Jesus and Mary.